Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Oh, I've missed you all. Well, I mean, I've been here, but anyway, it is good to see you. And I believe I have a word from the Lord for us as we start out dealing with the harvest in this area, which Pastor Mike's been talking about for, I think, 5 weeks. Are you ready?
Yes.
Would you have chosen you to be born at this time to be part of the harvest?
No. Maybe.
Well, thank you for your honesty. If you could live at a different time, maybe in our country, years behind, maybe you want to go to space, would you choose a different time or would you choose now?
Go to Vietnam. Go to Vietnam.
Whoa. Sometimes we're just not happy where we're at, are we? Or we just think we're not qualified to do things. So, are you willing to let the Lord speak to you about how qualified you are and what it is you believe?
Yes.
Well, this is good. The title of the message today is Get the Picture. The Lord put on my heart that we need two pictures in our heart, clear, if we're going to help Him do our part in the harvest. And He can't do it without us. Imagine that. God Almighty can't do it without us. Huh. Well, that just kind of baffles me. Please. Thank you. Forgot my water. So let's open with prayer. You ready to let the Lord speak into your heart?
Yes.
Well, Father, thank you. You are a way maker. You are so much. Jesus, you are everything. You are the Son of God. We love you. We appreciate all you did for us. But Lord, I ask that you help each one of us to be part of your harvest so that there are more people like us that get to come and live with you forever, because that's eternal life, to know the Father. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for doing the work in each heart that you know needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. The first picture we need clear is your picture of God. And you probably think, well, of course I know who God is. Really, what formed your picture? If you could close your eyes and you could see a picture and you didn't Photoshop it, you didn't make it look pretty, you didn't cut things out, what would it look like? Would it look like maybe something you learned in church when you were a little kid? Would it look like something from your family that your mom taught you or your dad taught you, or maybe they didn't teach you? Would it look like something you learned in school? Maybe you were bullied. Maybe you were picked on. How does that affect your picture of God? Well, if you were taught that you just never know what God's going to do, you just never know. And God's in control of everything. You ever heard that? If that's in your thinking, maybe we have some questions that need answering. Is he big? Is he powerful enough to be in control of everything? Absolutely he is. But do you know he gave to man the authority on the earth? Do you know he raises his word above all his name? So his name that says all powerful, His word is above it. It tells us what he will do with all that power. He almost limits himself, but he sticks with whatever he has spoken. Maybe we have developed our picture of God through Bible teachers. You know, you can turn on TV, you can turn on the internet, you can watch, you can hear how many different opinions of what God's doing today, about who he is, about what his character is like, about what he will do and won't do, and they're different. Doesn't that make you wonder? What is the truth? What is the truth? If I believe something about God and it's not truth according to what he says, that will hinder my faith from working because I'm putting faith in something that's not true. So he wants us to get a clear picture of him. Get the picture who your God is. Now, he took me on a different path than I have been on before, looking at this message. We started in Genesis. You know, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, creation. God is the mighty, fantastic, stupendously marvelous creator, the artist. He put everything together. For 5 days, we got the planets, we got the sun, the moon, the stars, we got the water, we got the earth, we've got birds, we got fish. And then day six, he outdoes himself. He did all the animals. I love animals. Personally, I'd like a little baby elephant. My husband said no. But he did all the animals, and then he said, let's make man in our image and in our likeness. Nothing had been made in his image and likeness before. This was the first. And he made man, and he breathed into man his breath of life, and he gave to man authority and control over all the earth. So when we look at the earth today and say it's a mess, don't say, God, where are you? Man did it. Man did it. It was perfect. Adam and Eve would walk in the garden at night with God. You wonder what they talked about? Would you love to have been there? Before anything was bad, before any evil, before any sin. How beautiful. I bet they all had Life is Good t-shirts on. Life was good. You're looking for the good old days? Those were the good old days. Wow, life was so good. Then we get to Genesis chapter 3, and the devil shows up. And he talks to Eve. You know, he has to talk her out of what she had. Because God had said, guys, the whole thing is yours. I'm putting you here, you tend it, you take care of it. Just one tree. Don't eat of that tree. If you do, he didn't hide from them what would happen. If you do, the day you do it, you will surely die. So they knew. They had to have walked with him for a while. They had to have known he told the truth. They had to have seen everything he had created and how wonderful it was. So here comes the devil. And he says, I think you ought to have a little bite of that. No, no, no. God said don't do it. And he said, you'll be as wise as God. You know, we have a choice every time we have a temptation. Give in. Don't give in. Jesus kept telling people, don't be deceived. Do you know what that means? We have a choice. There is something inside of us because we're in his image and likeness. It might just feel, you know, that might not be a good idea. Oh, but I'm going to do it. I'm just going to try it. We know when we're doing wrong. We know. Somebody say, yeah. Yeah. We know. So they did. They ate. And then God came to find them at nighttime to go for their walk, and they're hiding. God says, what have you done? What have you done? Have you eaten of that tree? And of course, Adam blames her, big man that he is. She turns, blames the devil. He deceived me. So what did God do? He cursed the devil. He did not curse Adam and Eve. You know that. He did not curse them. Man has never been cursed. He's good. If we don't have that picture of our God, that he is good, we've got the wrong picture. So if he identifies anything this morning to you that, wow, you know, I've been thinking wrong, you get to choose to change that in your thinking, because he is good. And then he said to the devil, I'm going to put enmity, hatred, between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. And he, the seed of the woman, will bruise your head. You know, when a serpent has his head bruised, the poison's no good anymore. He's powerless. He's powerless. Keep that in your mind. The enemy, we have an enemy. But you got more power than he does. You've got more, unless you don't think you have more. You have more. You know, it would sometimes, I believe that we Christians are like some 6-foot macho football player, and then you got a little toddler and he comes up and kicks them in the leg, and the football, oh no, the little kid kicked me, the little kid kicked me. That's what we do with the devil. Oh no, the devil's after me. You're bigger than him. You have authority, he doesn't. Do you know that? God gave it to you. So, I looked at the rest of the Old Testament. It's about 4,000 years worth. From Genesis chapter 3 to the end of Malachi is about 4,000 years. And that whole 4,000 years is where we read some of those stories that it looks like God is not being a good God. It looks like he's out to get some people. He looks like he's out to be mean. That's what it looks like. If that's your picture, I want you to rethink that. Everything was good, Genesis 1 and 2. Perfect. No problems. Man sins. For 4,000 years, God is working to get to that place where her seed will bruise his head. Every prophecy about Jesus, he wanted it so clear, so perfect, that you couldn't mistake him. Every man, he wanted every man to know who the Son was. He made it crystal clear. It took all those years for him to find the prophets and the kings that he could speak through, that he could get his heart through. He's trying to show his heart everywhere that it's love, the commandments. Look, guys, I love you. And I know you're probably not going to do what I tell you to do because you didn't in the first place. But if you would follow these, you're going to be blessed. Why? Because he wanted them to be blessed. It's not that he wants constrictions on us. He wants us to walk in his blessing. So 4,000 years, and we find in those 4,000 years some people that really went after the heart of God. Enoch walked with God, and poof, disappeared. How cool would that be? That was the first rapture, I think. Noah had the heart of after God. Abraham, he took Abraham out of idolatry and took 25 years to get him to the place where he could have the promised son. So if it took one man 25 years, and now he's dealing with the whole world, maybe 4,000 years isn't so long, because we make a mess of things. Every time we decide against something God said do and we don't do, we make the mess bigger. Every time we think, I know what you say, but you know, if you'd only look at it my way, God, I'm just going to do it my way, I'll show you. It doesn't work. It just plain does not work. So then we get Jesus. I love Luke chapter 2. Just keep in mind, God had this plan from the beginning. The seed of the woman, a man, is going to crush the enemy's head. That's the plan. He told the whole world what he's going to look like, what he's going to act like, where he's going to be born, how his life is going to be. So he's recognizable. So some of the people were looking for him. Most were not. Luke chapter 2, there were in the same country shepherds watching over their flocks by night. What were they doing? Just their regular job. Why did God appear to shepherds? Because he loves regular people. We're just regular folks. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. The angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you. You. He brings you. You. Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, not just you, to everyone. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who's Christ the Lord. Here's your sign. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, and suddenly heaven broke loose over these shepherds, filled the sky. Can you imagine what that would have looked like? What that would have sounded like? Oh! And the heavens, the multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, hallelujah, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. They knew this was the fulfillment. Man didn't know it yet, but they knew it. They were excited. And then we've got the Gospels from Matthew to John. What's that all about? It's about Jesus' life. Four tiny little books to cover 3 years of ministry, but 33 years of life. And why is that important? That is so important that we see Jesus gave us the picture of God. So we're going to go over a few things Jesus said. But if your picture does not line up with the character, the heart, what you know about Jesus, if your picture of God does not line up, you've got the wrong picture. And the Lord wants to adjust it for you. He's going to Photoshop it for you. He will correct it if you will believe his word. Hebrews, before we talk about the Gospels, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, that's our Old Testament, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So Jesus is fully aware of creation and how it all works. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person upholds all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the express image. That word, express image, means he is the exact copy. He's the imprint of the substance of God. He's distinct from God, but equal to the Father. So if I see Jesus, I see God. Now, I wasn't raised to understand that. I saw two different. I saw a God over here in the Old Testament that I would be afraid of, and I saw Jesus over here as the good guy. But Jesus came to give us a clear picture because it had gotten muddled over 4,000 years and people making their own rules and their own regulations and not paying any attention. The picture of God had gotten muddled. So Jesus came. He is our picture. John chapter 4. And verse 34. Now this will only change things in your life if you believe this is God's word and he's telling the truth. If you got questions about that, you got to go back to square one and make that your first decision. This is the word of God. I will believe it. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." He knew his purpose was to do God's will and to do what God told him to do. Do we know that about ours? That's our purpose. Whatever the Lord has given you to do. And you don't want to leave here without doing it. We don't want to leave unfinished work. John 5, verse 19. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do, and whatever he does, the Son also will do in like manner." That means Jesus didn't make a move. He didn't heal somebody. He didn't walk on water. He didn't break bread for 5,000 people without seeing this is the will of the Father. He wants us to live like that. Seeing the will of the Father that clearly. That if he said, "Take these couple of dinner rolls you've got and feed everybody," would you do it? Or would you go, "Let's just break a couple and see what happens"? But you know, Jesus gave the baskets to the disciples and he said, "You guys go pass it out." I don't believe Jesus broke all 5,000, the food. They did. The miracles happened in their hands. You know, miracles are to happen in our hands because we have authority here on the earth. We do, but we don't live like it. Sometimes we do. More often we don't. Because we don't think of ourselves properly, and we don't think of us properly because we don't have the clear picture of who our God is. John 5, verse 30. Oh, this is good. "I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Boy, Jesus, you're kind of repetitive here. You just keep talking about all you do is the will of the Father. It was his focus. It was his life. He knew what he was here for. We can know the exact same thing, what we're here for. Everybody's not here to be in full-time ministry, but everybody is here to minister. If you're born again, you have a ministry to share what you know about Jesus with others. Everybody does. John 8. Verse 28. Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man," he was talking about his death, "he said, you will know that I'm he." See, he said the Son of Man because Jesus came as a man. That was part of their confusion in their mind. They're expecting the Messiah to come as a king, but he came as a man. "When you see them lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things." Your Father wants to teach you. He doesn't want us in the dark. He wants to teach you. Do you want to be taught by your Father? He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. The Father has never left you. You might feel alone. You might feel abandoned by friends or family, people you work with. You are not alone. You are not alone. The Father will never leave you alone. But do you know that in your heart? Or do you have those days, oh God, nobody loves me? Yeah, I used to sing that song. My mother used to sing it to me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm sitting in the garden eating worms. You know, and then she'd say, get over yourself, girl. And I go, okay, don't be feeling sorry for yourself. I probably wasn't getting my own way or something. But I'm never alone. Never. 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 Let's see, where's my next one? Philip asked the question, Lord, would you just show us the Father? Jesus had to be going, this was toward the end of his ministry. Duh, where did I get these 12 from? I told you, if you see me, you've seen the Father. How many of us are not like that? God, I'd like to really see who you are. He has to be going, come on, guys. You're born again. You know Jesus. You've got the Holy Spirit. You know me. You're looking for something out there, but it's in here. How did you get born again? How did you come to know Jesus? We don't think, we sometimes have these spiritual moments that you can sense him. Oh, yeah, do you sense the Holy Spirit? Yep, God's with me. I want you to know God's with you whether you sense it or not. But you've got to know that. Because I'm telling you, you won't sense it every moment. But what do you know in your heart? Is your heart thoroughly convinced that he's in you and that you're in him? Do you have that picture of God that looks a lot like Jesus? I believe if he could download right now to our phones a picture of himself, it would be a picture of Jesus. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But if there's anything in your picture, in your definition, that says, yes, but. When I was a little kid, I've heard this many times by people that have been abused, and I'm only going to say this because it's common. It is unfortunately so very, very common for children to be abused by their parents or somebody that they trust. And so many have been told, well, God's in control. I don't know why this happened, but you're going to be okay. I know. It makes you just almost screaming mad when I hear things like that. God did not make any of that happen. He did not. He gave man, he created man in his image and likeness and gave him a free will. Why did he give us a free will? Because he has a free will. Nobody makes him do anything. He's not going to make us. He didn't want puppets. He wanted people in his image and in his likeness. He wanted to fellowship with him. He wanted to walk in the garden and tell him about all the animals he made and the planets and the stars. He wanted to love on them and provide for them. If you look in those first two chapters, he did nothing wrong. He did nothing bad. If you look at Jesus' life, he did nothing that you wouldn't be happy with in your life. Nothing. He never said to anybody that that said, please heal me. I kind of remember hearing about you. You've had, five husbands, and the one you've got right now is not? Should I even be talking to you? You know, he embraced anybody who was interested. He never turned anybody away. He touched people with leprosy that was so contagious. He found these 10,000 people that wanted to listen to him and fed them all lunch. He took care of their needs. But yet he was honest. Peter's out walking on water, going, woohoo, I'm walking on water. And I think one of the funniest verses in the Bible, and he started to sink. You don't start to sink. You're either on top or you're down. Peter, it must have been like his faith was just going, oh no, what am I doing here? You know what God said to him? He didn't say, you know, Pete, it's okay. Nobody else has ever done this. He said, oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? He was straightforward. He'll tell you what's wrong with you if you ask him. You're missing something? Ask him. He'll tell you. But he wants you to have, God Almighty wants you to have the picture of him in your wallet that looks just like Jesus. So if you have any of those negative connotations that go with, I think it's the sovereignty, well, you know, God's in control. You never know what's going to happen. No, that's not right. And you can tell people that's not right. It's sad what has happened to many people in life. It's so sad how evil other people can hurt an innocent person. You know, Jesus would never do that. There's even an instance in the gospel where the kids were annoying him, were annoying the disciples and wanting to pester. And they said, can we just send him away? Don't you have nursery for these kids, Jesus? Can we just send him out of here? And he said, no, bring him on. I want to bless him. And I don't know who this is for. I honestly do not. But somebody that was hurt as a child, that it haunts you in the back of your mind. Where was Jesus? Where was God? I want you to know he was with you, hurting. Hurting. I want you to know that. Those things didn't go through the desk of the Father, and the Father says, ooh, this doesn't look good, but approved. Go ahead. You can hurt that one. You can hurt that one. Never. Never. If that is the slightest inkling in your mind, you've got to make the choice to believe that Jesus is the picture of God, and none of those things happen to you by the Father's will and his heart. They don't. They don't. He's passionate about you. He's passionate, in love with you, has always been, will always be. And he wants you to know that deep in your heart. So no matter what happens, and who knows what's even going to happen in the next 5 minutes? We don't know. But you know that you know that you know that your God is good and that he loves you. You need to know that. You need to know. When you run into people that say, well, you know, God's in control, say, you know what? He gave control to man. If you're like me, you've made a bunch of stupid mistakes and stupid decisions. So I want to suggest, go through the Gospels and ask the Father to show you where you have misunderstood that Jesus was portraying him. He will show you. We often go to the Word and we've got our mind made up what it means. So you know, when you have that, you can't see anything else. All you can see is how you've got your mind made up. I got a phone call this week. It was from, I thought it was our electric company, and they wanted to change our provider for gas from the company we're using to one that was cheaper. And they said, well, it's the state of Michigan allows us to do this. And I thought, oh, okay, well, Michigan allows this. This has got to be a legal schmeagle thing to do, and would you like a better deal? Well, duh, yes, of course I would. I get off the phone with them, and my husband said, what'd you just do? He had been eavesdropping, and so I told him. He said, cancel it. He said, they took advantage of you. You thought it was your gas company. It was not. It was another gas company wanting you to purchase your gas from them, but still be, if you have trouble, still call your regular company. And I thought, ay, 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 ay. Lord, how did I get so dumb? I'm usually way more discerning than that. What did I miss? I got all done, and they said they canceled it. I don't know. I won't know till I get my next bill if they really did. But I said, Lord, I believe that you have a lesson for me in this. I said, what's my lesson? He said, when you think you know what somebody says and you think you understand it, that is how you perceive your whole conversation based on that. He said, you thought it was your gas company legitimately doing this. You didn't know it was somebody trying to undermine them. He said, it's the same thing in the Word. When we go to the Word and we think we know what it says, we don't get any more revelation. So I challenge you, go to the Gospels and ask the Lord to show you. And then be really brave and go to the Old Testament and say, show me your heart. I want to see your heart and why some of those things happened. I want to see that. I tell you, your picture of the Father will get more beautiful than ever. Could I have the prayer ministers come up, please? I want to ask you, do any of you have things you need to go to God and change the picture? Go ahead, stand up if you do. It's okay. Nobody. I saw your heads shaking. I know, it takes one brave person. I've had those wrong pictures. I'm getting them cleared up. Thank you. I want to pray for you that are standing. Now, if you ought to be standing, then stand. Because I'm only going to pray for the ones that acknowledge, look, I didn't have everything right, God. I'm sorry. I thought I had the picture clear. I had it all muddled. I know there's more. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. His love for you, if you don't know that it is so aboundingly great, immense, all the time, and he has never changed, it's always been like that for everyone. Father, thank you. Lord, I believe that you showed me that you would change the picture in these hearts that are standing. So Lord, I thank you that they're humble enough and courageous enough to stand up and say, I didn't have it all right. So Lord, as they go through your word, would you show them, clear up the picture. Lord, I thank you that you never change and you've always been that good God that started in Genesis 1 and 2. And as good as Jesus was that showed us your heart. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, if anyone has any prayer requests for anything, please come up and see the prayer ministers. They are one man and two women filled with faith in the Word and will pray according to their knowledge of God, that He's good all the time. Other than that, you are dismissed, and we will see you next week for part 2.